Welcome to the Parallel Universe Plane Wormhole. Please take care to ensure that your hands and other extremities stay within your confines. We don't want any sudden loss of limb along the way. In case of any accidents, please note your exits and take them when needed. We are now loading docks 666, as well as dock number 17. Please enjoy the ride along the multiverse of Conspiracy Me. Thank you.
We are stuck in a very strange place and time, and conspiracy theories are rampant nowadays, to the point where it's difficult to draw the line between fact and fiction. I'm your host, Ethan Bridges, and welcome to Conspiracy Me. The vast majority of you know why you are here, so I won't have you explain yourselves. And like myself, you are curious about the world around you and how it works. You know the basics to conspiracy theories, and many that I will discuss here are very well known. But most of these are just the tip of the conspiracy theory iceberg. The iceberg is a multi-leveled construct, ranging from the more well-known theories to some that even I have never heard of. Visualize an actual iceberg and note that the tip of it is always the smallest part of the entire entity. In each episode, I will go through the hard work and research for your benefit to give you the history behind the theory and its following. We are going to start in the horizon with the simpler and more well-known theories. Then we will dive into the ones we have no idea how deep they go. So buckle up, because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
The world can be a horrifying place at times. With all the strange and unexpected scenarios that happen throughout, it is the unknown that we are the most frightened of. We are traveling to the late 2000s. This episode is stamped with a content warning. We will be talking about situations that are not ideal for children's ears. Thank you. In June of 2009, and as part of a Photoshop contest, internet forum user Eric Knudsen, also known as Victor Sturge, created what would be some of the creepiest Photoshop photos imaginable. In June, the birth of the Slender Man appeared. The black and white photos, usually with children in the forefront, would have a strange and suspicious-looking character always in the background. The character had long, wispy arms, very tall, and always in a black suit with or without a black hat and a featureless face. With each image, the Slender Man grew, growing taller, with extra arms cascading from behind him and eventually turning into tentacles. And not only was the photo unsettling, but the captions Knudsen provided only made the photos creepier. We did not want to go. We did not want to kill them. But its persistent silence and outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time. 1983, photographer unknown, presumed dead. The idea that the Slender Man could be real only fueled the flame for even more than just the world building behind him. What was his purpose and why was he created? The Slender Man was and is above all else a kidnapper and murderer. The creepypasta states that the Slender Man would lure children and murder them. More stories appeared on different threads, each with a more sinister caption. So the fictional character of the Slender Man is a mix of other horror story tropes, Zach Parsons' That Insidious Beast, Stephen King's The Mist, Shadow People, The Mothman of West Virginia, The Tall Man from 1979's Phantasm, many of the works by horror author H.P. Lovecraft, some works by William S. Burroughs, and the ideas from video games like Silent Hill and Resident Evil. This culmination of fictional characters brought forth this strange and mysterious person with a blank face, long arms, and a sinister taste for children. The Slender Man even has some folklore aura about him as well. He's similar to the Fae, also known as fairies. Some reports even say that the Slender Man can shapeshift. The Photoshop photos did indeed go viral. Many spin-offs came from the Nuds and Work, fan art, cosplay, fan fiction, and eventually a video game. This idea that the Slender Man is real started on Something Awful thread on the Something Awful forum. This crossed with filmmakers of an ARG YouTube channel called Marble Hornets. In many of the background scenes of the ARG, you can see the mysterious The Operator in the videos. Marble Hornets has other Slender Man themed videos on their YouTube channel. So how did this mysterious person become so popular? We will find out after a moment's intermission. In June of 2009, Eric Knudsen created the visual for the Slender Man, which sparked the life of a creepypasta, which in a sense turned into a ritualistic cult. After the huge success of Slender the Eight Pages, the video game followed up with many variations on a theme like Slender Man's Shadow and Slender Man on iOS. The sequel came, Slender the Arrival, and the cult following followed thereafter. The folklore behind the Slender Man is interesting. It is very similar to the Pied Piper story, where the children follow the strange and mysterious man that promises them their heart's desire. But ultimately, through the Slender Man's powers, they usually die from being possessed by the Slender Man. The following is strange, because we do not know a lot about the Slender Man, but we know a great deal as well. It is a mysterious and vague thing, with just a touch of usefulness. Many theorists speculate that the Slender Man is a representation of fear of the unknown, where we have some information but not a lot. People do fear what they don't understand. The theory of the Slender Man coming and going in our plane of existence only fuels the idea that we are living in a simulation, a theory that is much more to truth. He comes and goes to let us know that we are not alone. The conspiracy theory behind the Slender Man is similar to the Momo Challenge, which we discussed in the very first Conspiracy Me episode. The entire situation is driven by moral panic, the viral irrational fear that there are certain people trying to bring down a traditional idea or way of living. On May 31st, 2014, two sixth grade girls from Waukesha, Wisconsin, forced their friend to go with them into the forest, only to be held down and stabbed 19 times as a sacrament to the Slender Man. The girls told the police that they intentionally wanted to commit murder because it was the first step into becoming a proxy for the Slender Man. This is, of course, what they had read in forum after forum on the internet detailing canon for the Slender Man. They also told authorities that the Slender Man would kill their families if they did not make a sacrifice to him. The victim did survive, and the other two girls were charged as adults and diagnosed with mental illnesses, and both are facing up to 65 years in prison for second-degree homicide. Upon hearing the tragedy, Eric Knudsen publicly apologized for those families affected by the stabbing. As always, when something goes viral like the stabbing, people begin to panic. Parents ask their children about the Slender Man, and as always, curiosity kills the cat. The moral panic stated this time that the internet was dark and wicked. The media and public outcry for the Slender Man increased. In Cincinnati, Ohio, a woman told the local news that her 13-year-old daughter tried to stab her with a knife, and it was found that the young girl was writing fiction about the Slender Man. In Florida, a 14-year-old girl set her family's house on fire because she had read stories about the Slender Man online. Unlike the Momo Challenge, there always seemed to be a deep connection between these crimes and the Slender Man as an influence. For something to just be a Photoshop creation of a creepy background character, the height of viral following took something creepy and made it real and horrifying. Like Baba Yaga, or Krampus, or even Bigfoot, the Slender Man has some folkloric qualities. But just the same time, there is always a little truth in the fiction.
Thank you for listening to Conspiracy Me. Until next time, I'm your host, Ethan Bridges. Be careful, and don't say I didn't warn you. This has been an Ebb and Flow production. To contact us, please email me at conspiracymepod@gmail.com. Like and follow us on Twitter at conspiracymepod, and please give us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.